Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings to all the kings and queens listening in today. Welcome to In the Spirit with host Shirley and co-host Sandra Wadsworth-Buton. Our intent is to evolve, enlighten, and reawaken the great power that lies within us as we take this spiritual journey together.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show today. I am your host, Shirley, and my co-host, Sandra Buton, is on the line. Sandra, how are you today?
I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you today, Shirley?
Excellent. Absolutely fabulous. And so excited to be doing the show live again today, and I'm so glad you're back.
Thank you.
Last week we had a bit of a abbreviated show. I had a little bit of a sore throat, so I just played one of my favorite meditation CDs, and I hope the listening audience did enjoy that, and it had the same soothing effect on you. And if you're interested in finding out how you can obtain a copy of that CD, you can always contact me at alwaysinthespirit@gmail.com. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Perfect.
So welcome back to you.
Thank you. Thanks for being all the guests.
And so, the week before, we had a magnificent special guest on the show, Mr. Simon T. Bailey. That was a dynamic and information-filled show. And I hope all of you who had a chance to tune in gained a lot of useful information and insight. And if you didn't have a chance to listen to the segment live, you could always go into the archive and download it.
Exactly. And would you mind giving them the name of the book again, just in case they wanted to make a reference, please?
His book is called Release Your Brilliance. And again, the author is Simon T. Bailey. And we did give away a copy of his book as well to one of the hosts on the Blog Talk show. She was a very active participant in the chat room.
Oh, lovely, lovely. Do you think she has received the copy as of yet?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything back from her. I know it went out about a week or so ago, so I'm sure she's gotten it.
But
I haven't received any comment or confirmation yet from her about having received it.
Well, I'm like you. I'm sure that she will enjoy it.
Absolutely. So, and I also wanted to let the people know that In the Spirit has a new social network. If you want to find out more information about that, the email address is http://profile/halfway. So, Mr. Bailey's segment, my goodness, was that a dynamic show or what, Sandra?
Yes, it really, really was. I've gotten a whole new enlightened space in my mind right now from the conversations and the reading of that book. You know, it's always wonderful to read and enhance your mind with new material as well while you're in something that, you know, like you and I are always in our book, which is The Angels Within Us, but it's always new energy and new information to enhance everything and anything that you're doing in life. And his book was such that kind of material. It was phenomenal.
Absolutely. And then to have him on the show to talk about the plethora of things that we discussed, it did exactly that. It enhanced. You know, it just complemented what I read in the book and the conversations that we had with him. It was just so, it took me like 3 days to calm down from that segment. I was on a natural high for 3 days after that.
Well, I tell you what, I certainly look at diamonds differently now.
Absolutely. Yes, indeed. And if you had a chance to listen in to the beginning of the segment, we had a new introduction. I think you came in right after it, Sandra.
I certainly did. I inadvertently dialed the wrong number.
Oh well. Hopefully you'll have a chance to listen to it in archive. So we're testing some new introductions here. And if you have a comment, we'd like to make a comment about it. Please feel free to drop us a line and let us know what you think about the new introduction.
Wonderful. That is wonderful. I will catch it in the next show or at the back, like you suggested.
Yeah. So I think some of the things that really stood out to me about some of the things that Simon said when he was talking about heat, pressure, and change, I thought that was just so phenomenal, because we do go through the process of becoming diamonds, and part of that is we have to go through heat, pressure, and change, which is stress that we deal with every day. You know, and it brings about a lot of pressure, but all that's significant and relevant to us evolving into becoming the diamonds, the brilliant diamonds that we're created to be.
That is correct. And while we are unfortunately, seemingly most of the time, criticizing and judging the creations that we have created that will cause us to grow and evolve, you know, instead of surrendering and relaxing and moving through it graciously, you know, we have to seemingly retrain our minds to accept what's happening. You know, while we're being molded and shaped and going through the fire to become that precious stone that we already are, we have to relax and not be fearful in the transition that's bringing us to the diamond state.
Absolutely. Because, and that's part of life, because it all aids in moving us from one level to another, a higher level of consciousness. It helps us to grow, and that's what it's all about. Life is always growing and evolving, and we have to grow and evolve as well.
Correct, and that hanging on to that lower nature is something that we have seemingly have convinced ourselves, and we've been in such a conformity from age one that we must conform to what is, without changing or rocking the boat, as some people may say. This is how things is, and it must remain the same. Well, that is not correct. Change is constant, and you must learn to change with the flows and the ebbs and the tides of life, because staying in one spot, being stagnant there, does not aid in your evolution. So while we're standing there, as we say, surely playing small, it is not serving the world in any aspect or shape or form.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Because in a lot of times we have to understand that change is a process. Sometimes it depends on what you're trying to change in your life. Things do happen overnight for some people. But for the most part, for many of us, it is a process that we have to go through, and it's an everyday, 24/7, 7-day-a-week process. And we have to recognize that and appreciate it for what it is and for what it is bringing us into.
I concur, truly. It's a magnificent journey, isn't it?
It is indeed, and I'd like to take a moment and welcome L. Kimberly Smith, who's joining us in the chat room. Thank you so much for sharing your time with us today here on In the Spirit. We welcome your presence today.
Welcome. Emily, is that who you said, Emily?
L. Kimberly Smith.
Oh, I beg your pardon. L. Kimberly Smith.
Okay.
Oh, well, hello to you as well. This is Sandra. Hello, and we are happy to have you with us today.
Indeed. And, well, she's making a comment. She's saying, that is so true, ladies. Quite a journey. Thank you. Yeah, it is a journey indeed. It really, really is. And it's a journey that we need to embrace and, like you said, go along for the ride and see where it takes us, because it's leading us into our future. And I think the hard part of that for most people is letting go of the past, letting go of those things that we're so familiar with and so comfortable with, because heading into the future is unknown to us. mm-hmm. physically unknown to us. But spiritually, when we tune into the spirit shows us, because whatever we're holding in our mind is what we're going to bring about in our lives anyway. And so the key is to let go of the past, let go of the old ways of thinking, the old ways of doing things, and embrace the change, embrace the movement forward into our future. And when we get there, it's like, I can't believe I resisted this all this time. You know, that what this is all about, to get me to this point? I can't tell you how many times I have said that. And that's part of what we're going to talk about, because we're going to talk about this book that you and I have been studying. Thank you so much for introducing me to this book, because we're going to be talking about this book forever.
My pleasure.
Those that are in Kimberly, the title of the book is The Angels Within Us, and it's by John Randolph Price. And it's just such a phenomenal, phenomenal book. And so part of going into the future and moving forward is letting go of things that keep us tied to the past.
Indeed, indeed. And I am, as well as you were speaking then, you know, you can't recall all the times that you have experienced the same things. It is seemingly so difficult. And then when you've come through the storm, you look back and say, yes, just like you said, I cannot believe that I held on to that. When you see the glory that came after the storm, and you would have been stuck there holding on to this same one familiar thing, not allowing the glory and the beauty to come forth that you experienced on the other side. It's just so wonderful. However, you must keep those examples, as I'm sure you do, so that we can, when the circumstances arise again, that looks like, oh, it's so traumatic, it's this, and it's heart-wrenching, and I can't do this, then when you relax and ride through that storm, because you've seen the storm before, you know what's on the other side is the glory, the beauty.
Absolutely.
And when you can have that example, that strengthens your faith in your self and your inner God self, so that you can know that this is perfect.
Absolutely, and that kind of reminds me of something that Simon said on a broadcast a couple of weeks ago. He said that we need to bless our future, speaking to where we want to go instead of where we've been. And everything that we speak is like a boomerang, and it does. It has a boomerang effect. So when we're moving into our future on our journey, and we're grumbling and complaining, it's rough, we've got all these obstacles in our way, you know, we need to watch that, because we're cursing that present that spirit has waiting for us.
Right, because
when
we
get there.
Indeed, that cursing that you were speaking of, we are creating that future as we're sitting there cursing.
Absolutely. And so that's why when you get there, it's like, oh, this isn't what I expected. Well, look at what you said on your journey.
That's
up
right.
Until that point. No, it's not. It's what you thought and what you brought about. Well, you took something that could have been beautiful and turned it into something that's not what I wanted.
That's correct. That's
but that's
correct.
What you got, because that's what you projected out there in the universe.
That's right. While you were taking that journey, as you said, it was horrible. It's this and it's that, and I don't want this. And, you know, you brought all that fearful energy into it that distorted anything that could come out on the other side that would be pleasurable, because you put all that fear of energy in the making of it. So when it came back to greet you in your future, it is not what you thought you desired.
Absolutely. And so part of that is just having a regenerated mind, and like we alluded to earlier, we have to renounce some things in our life. And part of that process is to give up, to let go, and to surrender. We have to surrender, most importantly, to the spirit. In the Bible, it talks about renewing your mind and being born again. And part of that process is letting go of those attitudes, and sometimes even people. Sometimes we have to let go of our family for a time in order for us to get where spirit is trying to lead us. And that's hard for some people to do. they're not ready to do that. They don't want to let go of friends. They don't want to let go of family. They don't want to give all the ones they need familiar to them, you know, the thing that they're comfortable with.
Right. And you know, and there's a way to do everything. You can gently, as Simon may have mentioned a week before last, you can gently detach yourself from them by not answering the phone every time the phone rings, or perhaps not going to their homes every time. You know, if you know that this is negative energy, then perhaps you need to just do it in small increments. Then you can detach yourself a little at a time. If, you know, some people can't do it so abruptly because they feel so guilty. Then when they do it, they feel guilty. So then, you know, you have to compensate. You have to give yourself permission to do that so you won't have the guilt that rides along with that sometimes. And that letting go, you know, if you don't look at it as a sacrifice, but a giving up the lesser for the greater, then, you know, wouldn't you give up a cubic zirconian diamond, a cubic zirconian, to get a diamond? That's the lesser for the greater. So I would definitely, if someone gave me a 2-carat CZ and said, well, here is a 2-carat diamond, would you prefer to have that? Indeed, I would. The lesser for the greater, that's no sacrifice. Is that a sacrifice? No. Although you may have admired the CZ and it looked good on your hand, the real thing is much more precious.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. I don't know who sang that song, but I just...
And Kimberly
Smith made a wonderful point in the chat room. She said that when you stay on your spiritual path, many times when people will just pass out of your lives.
Indeed.
And your path will stop crossing. And that's so true. And we had talked about that earlier. You know, because when people see the light inside of you, it's either going to draw them to you or repel them away from you. And especially if they're not ready, if they're not on their spiritual journey, or that's not even in the forefront of their mind to do.
That is,
you know,
correct.
People are complacent in life, and that's good, and that's all, you know, that's fine for them. But when you're on your spiritual path, like she indicated, people are going to either join to you or they're going to fall away automatically anyway.
That's right. I've had that experience many, many times. Mm-hmm. And I say, you know, and I know that they're not supposed to be in my life, because when they can't, you know, feel comfortable around me, they're not supposed to be around me. And they don't feel comfortable enough, so they remove themselves from my life. And I thought, well, they weren't supposed to be in my life. And that was
right,
a great
experience.
Right, and
especially if it's your family, you know, you love them anyway, but you still,
indeed.
You know, I love you, but I got to go. I'm still going to continue on my journey.
That's right. We have to love them. We love everyone. But, you know, there's time to take care of you, because the Bible stated that, you know, work on your own salvation. So this is our salvation. The evolution and reawakening of who we are is the salvation, as far as I'm concerned.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm so glad you said that, because this whole process is so significant. And I think a lot of people, especially those who are devout Christians, and I'm not putting anybody down for what they believe, but it's important to understand that we're all serving the same God, and it's all a spiritual realm, whether or not people accept that fact. And a lot of times when people hear things that are not familiar to them because they haven't been taught that, they think it's some New Age cult, this, that, or the other. But everything, the Bible says that all things work together for your good. So we can't just pick and choose what we want to hear and try to make it work for us, because when it's not working, that's why it's not working. You have to put all the pieces of the puzzle together to get the whole picture. So it's an eclectic universe, and it's an eclectic learning experience.
Exactly, exactly. And I think that for those that choose to stay in one particular area of their life and say that they are in their on their spiritual path, that's all well and good, because perhaps that is their spiritual path. But for me, I would like to explore more of my mind. My intent is to reawaken to the God self that I truly am. And at this point, I'm still a child. That's why they say we are children of God. I'm still growing.
Absolutely. And we have a caller on the line from 267581. Caller, can you give us your name and tell us where you're calling from?
Oh, sure. Hi, it's Kim from the chat room.
Okay, hi. I mean, you, because I can't, it's hard for me to keep up with all that technology, trying to keep up with the chat room and talking. But I'm so glad you called in. Thank you so much. Is it L. Kimberly, right?
Lucas called me Kim. My whole
family calls me Kim, so that's fine. Okay, Kim. Thank you. I mean, you've been making some really interesting comments in the chat room, and I wanted you to join our discussion.
Thank you. That was so generous. I'm in Philadelphia over here, so I'll give Philly a shout out. you ladies are so resonating with everything that, with my whole past and everything that I've been learning in the past. Well, it's been probably a lot of years, because I think that many times we're always on the path, but, we're not conscious of it. So I've just been kind of conscious that I'm on the path for probably about 5 years now. And I just resonate with everything that you're saying. And I always believe that there's no coincidences, because I was looking for something on Block Talk Radio to listen to that was really going to feed my spirit this afternoon. And I actually tuned into a couple shows, and this is funny, because I couldn't get my sound to work on either show. I got in, and the sound wouldn't come on, and I was like, what's going on? And so finally, like you said, I just, I wasn't going to fight it. I said, well, maybe there's not anything on here I'm supposed to be listening to or hearing, so I'll just move on. And then I came across your show, and the sound came right on. And so that's exactly what happened. So I just, I thank you for being on, and I thank you for having this this conversation that we're having. So.
Thank you, Kim.
Well, I am so glad you were tuned into the spirit.
Because that is exactly correct. She was tuned into the spirit.
Yes, exactly. So
you did ask about the book, so hopefully you'll have an opportunity to get a copy of that book. And when actually my co-host introduced me to the book, and she described it as being magical, so that alone piqued my curiosity, because I know, the power that books have. And so when she said that, it's like, even though the title was a little different, because I'm still transitioning, coming out of, church to church world and all that. And so, but I'm open to the spirit. I've always been tuned into the spirit. And so when she suggested a book, I did get a copy of the book, and I haven't put it down yet. And it's been, what, Sandra, almost 3 months?
Almost three
every
months.
Every day we're talking about the phenomenal things that not only that I'm learning, but experiencing as a result of reading and studying this book.
Well, Shirley,
Hopefully,
I'm sorry, excuse me. You said you hadn't put it down in three months. I haven't put it down in 5 years. So, Kim, I look forward to hearing how you are going to love this magical book.
Oh, I will definitely pick it up. I love to read, and actually reading has been my number one source for opening myself up as well. And I'm so glad you said that, because, a lot of us, we do come from these I want to say a little bit limited of an experience of God. And so to be opened up to these deeper and actually more intimate ways of connecting has been amazing for me. So I will definitely pick up the book, and I'll definitely keep up with you all for sure. Now you'll be going into my favorites, and then I will let you know my experience going through that. So I thank you so much.
You are indeed welcome.
Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate your contribution today.
Oh,
and keep listening to the show. You know, send me an email with some contact information for you because I'd like to keep in touch with you. We're thinking about maybe doing a book study about this book. You know, that's something in the very near future that we're contemplating, and I'd like for you to be a part of that process as well.
I'll put
the information up in the chat room for you to email us and also to join our social network. And leave some comments there as well, okay?
Wonderful.
Thank
and I'm going to try
to
hang up, but I'm going to continue to listen, okay?
Okay, I appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
And I also want to thank D-Man for joining us in the chat room today. That was wonderful. I mean, she was just so, I could tell she was just so on fire in the chat room and had so much energy. I just couldn't keep, I couldn't take gas enough.
Well, I'm delighted that she joined us today.
And so like, am I.
Yes, and like she said, there are no coincidences. No, there are not. Everything is by divine design. Wonderful, wonderful. Well, she is. She let go. You see what she said? She let go. She said, okay, well, maybe there's nothing there for me to hear today. There's not for me. And as soon as she let go, here we were.
Absolutely. So one of the things that I'm also learning, Sandra, about being on this spiritual journey and letting go of the ego self of me is that we kind of live in a divided duality. And I think that's part of the process, too, of learning that we have the mind being that conflicts with the heart and the spirit, which is our true essence. And I think what I'm figuring out is that the key to this whole process is to become one. You know, not be physical, the mind, and having a separate spirit. It really isn't, because it's all one spirit, and the spirit of God is inside of us. And so we have to learn how to go inside and become one with the spirit of God. Our physical selves have to mesh with the spirit of God inside of us.
That is absolutely correct. And once we get into that mindset, you see, we have to seemingly learn not to identify so much with the physical, because the physical is, you know, is the host of the great power that is within us. You know, we are not really human beings. We're beings of light, and we have to infuse our minds to realize that this sometimes called meat suit that we're wearing is not who we truly are. We are so much more than what we see and what our minds have been taught by all of our acquaintances, the world itself, you know, that we live in every day in the third dimension. We've been taught that thus far, this is all we are. What we see is what we get. That is not true. That is not correct. What we see is what we projected. And so that great being that is within us is who we truly are. And once we merge to that oneness, that Godhoodship that we truly are, my goodness, speaking of magic, my word.
Absolutely. We enter into the kingdom. That's the kingdom of God within us.
Yes.
Once we merge with Hello?
Yes, there was a silence. What happened?
Okay, well, we had a little technical difficulty. We want to keep it moving now.
Well,
we won't keep it moving.
That's correct. There are no coincidences. That was just spirit coming through. And I hope all of our callers are still there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. They are. And
okay,
are
perfect.
That's a good thing.
Well, all right.
And
well,
so,
that spirit.
Yeah, and the divine duality, the mind is aligned with the heart and the spirit. That's when God says, thy will is my will, and my will is thy will, and thy will be done.
That is correct. That is correct. I concur. And as you were speaking of early, Shirley, about the letting go, that is truly a phenomenal occurrence and something you have to contemplate on and work on, because in that letting go, that's also the letting go of that criticism that, you know, we seemingly, our eyes will look at something, and before you know it, there is a statement created in your mind about something you have seen. And sometimes it's so fast you don't even know that there's been some criticism or a statement made about the thing your eye has just seen. So sometimes I will practice, I will look out, and I will see something. Before my mind can criticize or it starts to criticize, I proclaim that whatever I see is God or is of God. And immediately that changes the energy and the thought process in my mind, and it is truly phenomenal, because once you say or you figure out in your mind that that is God or is of God, your mind has seemingly, or my mind has seemingly, has put God in a high state. The frequency that surrounds the word God in my mind is in a higher level, so there is no criticism. And therefore, I can eliminate the judgment that might have come along with what my eyes were telling me that it could have seen.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And then when it comes to people, we begin, once we're at that higher level of consciousness, we begin to see the Spirit of God inside of those other people. And like you said, that will eliminate the criticism of the other people. And that criticism will be replaced with the agape love. So instead of criticizing them, we'll see the good in them. When they make a mistake, we'll be more forgiving and more loving and more patient and more understanding.
Indeed, indeed. And then in the process, while you're in the now, you are projecting and you are making and manifesting now the future. So that love will come back to meet you in the future.
Absolutely. And one of the things that it says in the book on that chapter that we were talking about, renunciation and regeneration, is that you are here to be reborn in spirit and then to share that blazing, infilling light for the benefit of the world.
Indeed. Indeed. And people have What about
I'm
you?
Sorry?
Before now, did
I'm
you wonder why you were here?
Yeah, but you know, I think when I always thought about that question, and I think a lot of people do, it's about what we want to do, the success that we want to have for our own personal whatever. And again, that's probably the ego part of it. But when I read that and really started meditating on it, that's what it's all about. It's our light is supposed to shine so that we can. We had talked about that earlier, the darkness that's in the world, and we're supposed to be the light that shines in the darkness.
Indeed.
And so whatever we do and wherever the Spirit is evolving us to, it is to have an impact and an effect on the world, maybe one person at a time, one community at a time, in our own sphere of influence on the jobs and your neighborhoods, you know, when you go to the supermarket, in our everyday interactions with people.
Indeed, I concur. You have to have that kind of connection going on within your spirit. You know, it sounds like it's a lot of work. However, once you get in the spirit, it becomes a joyous game. You know, you look forward to seeing how things will evolve around a situation that you perhaps have taken your fear from. Because I have seen instant transformation. Once I remove fear, when I give up and surrender and say, no, I'm not going to allow this to take over my mind or encompass my entire being with fear vibrations. And I have seen a fearful situation transform instantly from just my removing my fearful thoughts and criticism and judgment from a situation.
And, you know, it's about healing humanity, and Kimberly made that remark in the chat room. You know, it's about us projecting that love. And I think that's why with Michael Jackson, that man touched people's lives all over this world. And why? Because he radiated love, genuine love, from deep inside of him. And that's what he projected to the world, and that's what the world needed, and that's why they received him so lovingly. That man impacted people from every nation on this continent, on this earth.
He really did. He really did. And, you know, sadly enough, some people were not aware of all that he had done, you know, in his journey through this state of life at this time. He had done so much, and like you said, everyone was affected. You know, the mourning. In fact, he's still on the news now, and it's, what, 3-4 months later?
Mm-hmm.
I have not seen a person occupy so much TV time, even after they had been laid to rest. It's just phenomenal. And his energy was love. His energy was love. And people can say, you know, all the negative things that they desire. I feel the way you feel, that he was representing and presenting to the world a higher level of love. And they could not accept that.
Absolutely.
Some of them, absolutely.
And I'm glad the masses didn't listen to the mainstream media, et cetera.
Indeed.
Well, one of the things also, because I'm still in this book, you know, we said we're going to go.
You know, I love
it. Coming back to this book. But again, and this is still in that same chapter, it's talking about breaking the ego connection does not mean treating the physical world as non-spiritual. And I remember coming up, you know, when I was just learning all about faith, Christianity, religion, and all that, you know, and I always thought that it was something more to Christianity than what was being projected, because I was always tuning into the spirit. I was always looking at it from the spiritual element and not so much focusing on the material, the physical elements of Christ. I always looked at it from a spiritual perspective. And people would always say, oh, you're always so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. You know, and that's what came to my mind when I read that breaking the ego connections that does not mean treating the physical world as non-spiritual, because it's all relevant. It's all relative. And so we have to exist in both worlds, but we don't have to be, we're in this world, but we don't really have to be a part of it. We don't have to be consumed by the things that we see in the physical, in the natural world, because that is not the earth. This is not our final destination, and our purpose is not to acquire things on this earth so that we can sit home on our couch and get fat and be comfortable. while other people are dying and lost and hungry and thirsting for righteousness.
That's true. But, and if they decide to do that, that's okay for them. Then, you know, because perhaps they haven't come to the realization just yet that, you know, we are spiritual beings in physical form. And that is phenomenal. It's like, you know, I sometimes go to my sci-fi side and said, you know, technically, it could be said that we are aliens in human form.
And you know what movie brings that to the, it drives that point home to me more than any other movie that I've seen?
What is that
movie, Cocoon.
Cocoon?
Cocoon. That I think Ron Howard was the one who directed that movie.
Oh,
it was about, and I love that movie, because it was about, you know, these people, they were aliens from another planet, but they looked like human beings, and their mission was to come back and save these pods that got left on Earth many eons ago. And so when they went to reconnect with these pods, they were out in the ocean, and they unzipped their flesh. And when they took off their flesh skin, their Earth suit, what lied underneath was just a light being, just beams of light.
My.
And that's what we are inside.
That's right.
All the physicals, the color of our skins, the fingers and the face and all those features that we look at, is just our Earth suit. But inside, it's the light of God.
That's right.
Waiting for us to project and beam it into the world.
Indeed, indeed. We are so powerful. We are, just like we were saying this morning, you know, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure, that it is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We are so frightened of that beautiful, brilliant light that we have succumbed to just being humans. Just humans.
Absolutely. Okay, that was another thing we were going to talk about, because let me see how much time we have left. Because we're all over the place, but this is good conversation and dialogue that definitely, and people in the chat room are enjoying it. L. Kimberly saw that movie, Cocoon. Watch it again. Watch it with your spiritual eyes this time.
Yes, I have to watch myself again. It's been a
long time. Definitely. I don't know what I did. See, talking, trying to do everything at one time. Okay, I'm back to the chat room. Let me get back over here. Okay, we have 19 minutes left. But I know that's one of the things that we really, really want to talk about, and that was so phenomenal, the Nelson Mandela speech that you just alluded to.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Our deepest fears, because I've heard bits and pieces of it, but I've never really seen it in its entirety or heard the whole thing in its entirety. And so I had a chance to look it up, and I'd like to read it, because you said a couple of things that was really profound.
Oh, sure.
As part of the context of that. And I definitely think it's worth mentioning, because it's in line with what we were talking about on today's show as well. And it's the title of it is Our Deepest Fear, and the original writer of it is, what's her name?
Marianne Williamson.
Right, Marianne Williamson is the original writer of this, and it's historic because Nelson Mandela used it as a part of the speech when he was released from prison, and it reads, our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. You are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It's not just in some of us. It's in everyone. And as we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we are liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others.
That is so profound. I just love it. As I said, I have a copy of that hanging on my wall. I recite it to myself every other day. It's just a phenomenal statement. You're very present.
It is.
That's
it
who
is.
We are. We are so powerful that our very presence will automatically liberate others. My word. I love it. And where could they find that, Shirley?
Well, I just Googled it. You know, Nelson Mandela speeches, and it was one of the options that came up. But I'm like you, I want to find a poster of it, make a poster of it, and have it hanging up in my house.
That's right.
But, I mean, it's just so profound. You know, he's talking about that we're brilliant. You know, Simon talks about we're brilliant. Here we go, all things are working together, right?
Indeed.
You know, and that, you know, the Spirit of God is within us, and we are born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us.
Indeed. Indeed. That's what we're here to do. My goodness. And we are manifesting every single second. But
yes.
We have to learn to manifest the glory of God.
Right. And so, and that takes us into the other chapter when we were talking about death and rebirth.
Indeed.
When we were talking about that earlier, because when we talk about death, people get scared when they hear the word death because they automatically think about the physical body is gone and that's it. You know, you're no longer a part of the earth.
Right.
But when we look at it from a spiritual perspective, being born again, you have to die to the self. We have to die to the ego. That's what has to die. Our personalities have to die. Who we think we are has to die in order for us to tune in to the Spirit of God. We can't mesh with the Spirit of God 100% as long as we're trying to hold on to who we are because we're comfortable in our skin and afraid of what's going to happen or where I'm going in the future, where am I headed, you know, what is this spiritual thing about? I don't know, so I'm going to stay right here in my comfort zone.
Right.
But until we die, until we put the ego to death, we can't go on to the next level.
Right. And if, you know, as Simon was saying last week, Mr. Bailey, he said, if you can't put him to death, then step past that fear and move on, you know, and do what it is that you are supposed to do. Because sometimes, you know, when we think about trying to kill him completely, then we get stuck there and we get more frightened. So just, you know, you might want to change your mind and say, well, let's step past that ego, you know, and not be critical of this or that or be fearful of this or that. Because that is the only way we can move forward, you know, and all the failures are successes.
Absolutely, and they all, those are, it's just stepping stones.
Right.
You know, we were talking earlier, life is a series of tests. One of the things that it says here is a couple of things, actually, and this, I thought this was really, really interesting in the book. It says, it's talking about the simplest way to talk about how do we bring about this mystical death and rebirth, because Christ even talks about in the Bible you have to be born again.
Right.
And it's born into a higher level of consciousness, not the lower level where we're at in the physical realm.
Right.
That's not what it's about. And it's saying, well, how do we go about this mystical death? And it outlines, I think, four steps. And one of them is we place our faith in the invisible spiritual world rather than in the visible material world.
Indeed.
Which means that we have to stop giving power to those material things, you know, that affect us. And then one, this is what I have an asterisk next to this one because this is kind of where I am right now.
Okay.
We have to sever the emotional attractions that are causing bondage in our lives.
Ah.
We have to give up everything to the Spirit of God within, including those desires that are pulling us down, casting down imaginations and every high thing that holds us into captivities and keep us from the word of God, I think is in 2 Corinthians 10:15 or something like that. For in truth only when we surrender to the desire to the higher power do we acquire the right to have the desire fulfilled. And then the third step is with humility we release the sum total of ego energy to the holy self within. And then the fourth step is that we develop our power of intuition through meditation and to where it is greater, where that takes us into the higher level of consciousness.
I see. Right, right.
And so it steps, again, that's part of the process of changing. And see, and then this is what we had talked about early this morning, which is really phenomenal to me, because you kind of hear a part of it, but it was a significant piece that really stood out to me. It said there must be a preparation for this fusion to occur. Not only must the old wine and all that it represents be emptied out, but an entirely new wineskin must be made ready for the new impouring.
Yes, yes, yes. That is correct. All these things have to occur. And, you know, you can't, some things, like we say, we're in phases, and we have to go through each thing in a phase of our lives. No one is expected to just attack these things all at once and think that, okay, well, I'm not doing this correctly. There's no such thing as not doing it really correctly, because however you have set into your mind to evolve, then you will evolve at that stage and at that pace. And you can speed it up if you desire by more contemplation and meditation or things of that nature, if that is
absolutely
what you've chosen. But, you know,
absolutely,
that dying of the lesser, you know, the lower nature to the higher nature is, you know, you die to those lack in your life, the limitations, the unfulfillment, the futilities, the conflict, despair, and the fear and all that guilt and all of that. That's what you want to leave. That's what you want to die. not
and those old attitudes and those old habits. Because in 1 Corinthians 15:31, Paul says, I die daily. And that's what we have to do in order to get the victory. And, you know, and it says in the book that unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And we talked about that earlier. And that's in the Bible in John 3:3. And whoever loses his life for the sake of Christ within will find it.
Right. Well, see, that may frighten some people once again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want to hold on to life that we know, the life that we know, and we don't want to let it go, you know, to for the unknown.
That's correct. That's correct. And, you know, I'm ready for the new wineskins.
Yeah, prepare, be ready. And that's what I'm preparing myself. That's right, because I want, when I get infilled, when I get that empouring, hey.
That's right. That's right.
Hey.
Or everything else will fall by the wayside.
Yeah, so we have to make ourselves ready, and that's how we make ourselves ready, by dying daily, by getting rid of those old habits that we do, whether consciously or unconsciously. And it is. It's a daily, daily, everyday process, every day, 24 hours a day. You know, we had talked about earlier when you and I were talking, we talked about sometimes people live a sheltered life. Mm-hmm. And when they're on their journey, they want to isolate, you know, because they don't want to interact with people in the world because, hey, I'm here trying to get my journey groove on. I'm trying to get in touch with the spirit, you know,
yeah.
So I don't want to be bothered with anybody or get involved in any energy or vibrations that's going to interrupt that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all well and good to a point,
right.
But at some point you have to get out there and you have to test those spirits,
mm-hmm.
You know, because like I had said earlier, life is a series of tests. So we can isolate and stay in our little cocoon for a little bit and shelter ourselves, but then when we get out there and interact with people, you know, that's just going to help us reinforce what we're learning and to put into practice what we're trying to do. Because
right.
As long as we stay hidden, because there's a scripture in the Bible, and I can't remember exactly where it is. It said, don't let take your light and hide it under a hill. Don't take your light and hide it under your candle and hide it under a bed or something, but shine it on top of the hill. So we can't hide what spirit is trying to do to us for fear of having to deal with all the negative energy and forces out there. Because Simon even talked about that on
yeah.
the show. He said, those, you know, he welcomes that. You know, we can't always have the rah-rah fan cheerleaders, you know, because there's going to be antagonism and stuff that we have to deal with. We have to deal with it. We can't run away from it.
True.
And it's only going to serve to make us stronger and to take us to the next level that we're trying to go to.
Exactly.
Because one of the things that, you know, that the Christians say is that each new level you have to deal with a different devil. But as we know, it's not really a physical form devil. The ego is the devil. The ego is the enemy. That's what we have to kill, the ego.
Indeed, indeed. And I've heard so many people, when I mentioned it to other people, they wanted to put up the crosses and say, oh, no, that's blasphemy. They want you to have a little devil with a red suit, a horn, horns on
mm-hmm.
his head, a pitchfork, and a tail. That's the devil that they think that is restricting them or telling them what they can and cannot do. Well, from our perspective, the devil does not exist, like you say, not in that form. It is the ego, and, you know, we are in charge, and the ego has no more power than we allow the ego to have.
Absolutely.
I'm going to
end this last chapter in the book with this, because we have about 6 minutes left on the show.
Oh,
and it says, become firm in your commitment and let go of your present life for the greater experience of true living.
Indeed, true living.
You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
That's right. Make us free, not set us free. Make us free.
Make us free. That's right. Absolutely.
Indeed. Mm, I love
that. That is so powerful.
Indeed. Is Kim still with us?
Kim is still with us. This girl is having a hallelujah good time in this chat room.
Thank you once again.
She is. She's a blessed sister. I'm so glad she joined us today. She's like, her last comment here is, that's right. It's it is a habit to live in the ego, and that's all. And Mr. D-Man is still with us in the chat room, and he hasn't made any comments. Oh, he has. I'm sorry. Oh, he has. See, I can't. It's just hard for me to keep up with all this stuff. He said Christ said through him. Okay. They're having a problem. He did not say. Okay, well. He said, whoever saves his life shall lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake shall have eternal life.
Okay.
Well, Christ is within us, and that's definitely clearly outlined in the Bible, so we're not going into any debates about that.
Indeed.
Anyway.
Thank you for joining us.
And I appreciate his D-Man's comments. He's
that's
certainly
right.
entitled to that, absolutely, but we don't debate those issues. You know, and one of the things that I've been learning on this journey and I'm so grateful for is all the research that I've been doing and going back before 2,000 years, you know, before the Bible was written, and it's just so amazing, you know, to learn and read about these other cultures and these other civilizations and they were so tuned into the spirit when they couldn't even read and write.
Indeed.
You know, from the beginning of the world, from the foundation of the earth, you know, everything was void and null. You know, then when people and civilizations start evolving on the earth, you know, they were always tuned into, you know, the spirit, the elements, nature, tuned into the universe.
That is correct. That's right. They lived by vibrating with the atmosphere and the universe, Earth, around them. You know, they could tell the time by the way the sun was up in the sky. Those
mm-hmm.
things are phenomenal.
And, you know, I can do that too, Sandra. I've been really, really, I don't even want to attribute it to that, but I haven't worn a watch, and I have a drawer full of watches because I'm here and my son give me a watch for my birthday. It's like I can have a watch sale on eBay or something. But I don't need to wear a watch, and I stopped wearing a watch for about 10 years, and I can tell the time almost to the minute.
Can you
just
really?
By, you know, yes. You know, people say, what time is it? I'm like, oh, it's probably about 2:45. They look at their watch. Oh, man, it's about 2:45. And that is so true.
That's amazing. Well, I am going to challenge you when I see you next and just I believe you. However, I truly believe you. I really, really do, and I think that is a beautiful talent.
And we learn and we grow, and that's what it's all about. You know, I'm not saying that to brag on myself because that
right.
didn't happen naturally because I couldn't tell the time of day before without a watch. But, you know, it's just being tuned in, and I told you that because the name of the show was just so natural for me because that's even though I didn't know it at the time, and like I was telling you, some experiences that I had in my life in my younger years, I didn't know what was going on, but I was always somehow connected to the universe.
Right. You were indeed and still are. That's
and
right.
And now that I'm older and realizing what it is, I'm loving this.
And
you know?
Magic, isn't it?
It is. You know, then when you learn that you have to get out of you have to get out the way. I have to get out the way. And that's what I'm learning to do, you know, because I've been on this earth for X amount of years. I ain't saying exactly how old I am. Doing things my way in spite of. And so that's how we get into these habits of doing things every day. And we have to unlearn all those habits and unlearn all those attitudes, and I'm willing to do that. I'm being a yielded vessel so I can be fit for the master's use. For whatever reason he has me here for, it's for the greater good of mankind, and I'm starting to understand it's just not for my benefit. Because I think once we tune into the spirit and we align ourselves to where the spirit is moving us, everything that we want and desire is going to be on that journey. It's going to come to us naturally.
Indeed.
So we don't have to strive to gain those material things.
That is correct, but that is where our mindset has been all these years, because that is what the mass mind believes, gathering the big house, the great, you know, the good car, the best car, the most recent model and make of the car, because our neighbors have the Lexus. And those sorts of things. Our mindset is to gather things and collect material items. It's not saying that we aren't supposed to have those things, but
absolutely.
Or and, you know.
But he's so willing to give it to us, but we have to do things in order to get it too. And I think people just think that God's a magic genie, you can rub a lamp and poof, there it is. But it doesn't work like that. That's going to do it. Unfortunately, we are so out of time. We have 43 seconds left. Sandra, do you want to have the closing words? Thank you. Thank you, everybody in the chat room, for joining us today. We appreciate it. We love you. Do tune in again next week. Sandra!
Yes, and I'd like to thank everyone for tuning into the chat room. Thank you so much, and join us every weekend that you can. And I'd like to say, let's be great rulers of that kingdom that is our minds. And remember, a fearful ruler lives in a fearful domain. And until we speak again, live long and prosper. Bye-bye.
And that's going to do it. Thank you so much.